Hello, hello, hello. How is everybody doing tonight? Doing okay? Good. Got a good little crowd here tonight. Good to see everybody, and hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And so it's been a good week this week so far. Taking care of business and doing things every day, and it's just good to see you here tonight. Good to be with you and fellowship with you and get into God's Word in just a few moments with you, pray. Do want to mention some folks and some updates, and then we'll turn it over to you. Maybe you have an update prayer request. Happy birthday, Miss Mary Ann Sandvi. Let's give her a birthday applause. Look at you. Happy birthday, Mary Ann. Every bit of 21 today. I don't blame you on that one. I don't blame you. But happy birthday. We certainly appreciate you and love you. And what a blessing you have been to the church. All right. Continue to remember Brother Harold in your prayers. I spoke with him today, and he's not doing too good. He's having back trouble. He fell a couple times, one time here, another time at home, and he's prohibited to drive. And I told him today, we'll mention him tonight, and his family is possibly thinking about assisted living for him. So let's remember Brother Harold in our prayers tonight. And he wants to come to church. He can't drive. He said maybe his daughter can bring him. I told him, I said, well, I'll check back in with you later on this week, and we'll make it happen. We'll get you here if you're up for it. You know, we don't want to put you in danger of falling again, but we'll get you here if you're up for it. And so we'll be checking back in with him later on this week. Remember Miss Claudia in your prayers as well. I believe she fell. Miss Claudia fell. And so was she hospitalized, Brother Ceylon? Bruised up and sore. He says she's all right. Okay. And I guess everybody's trying out for the football team. And But we'll remember Miss Claudia in our prayers tonight. Remember my grandfather. I spoke with my grandmother today, and she said he's on a feeding tube. And so that's how the only way he can eat right now. So I'm going to go visit with him tomorrow or Friday 1. And so just remember him if you would. And my grandmother, her brother's funeral was today. Ronnie was his name. And so remember them. Remember Jim Jr. Jim Jr. was getting out of the car Sunday after church somewhere. And I believe he fractured his ankle. Is a fracture and breaking your ankle the same thing? I never have understood the difference. Okay. I've heard that. Fractures are more complicated. Well, he has to have surgery on it, and he's wearing a boot, so remember him. Again, everybody's trying out for the football team, you know, the Calvary football team. Come on now, let's stay on our feet. The injured reserve, the IL, like the Braves on the injured list. But remember him in your prayers. Remember our children's home. And our leaders, house parents, all of them, and the classes downstairs tonight, all of our young people tonight, let's remember. And James and Shirley Townsend, let's remember Leonard and Dolores Palmer with Brother Leonard's treatments, Miss Dolores' heart condition. Continue to remember them. Don and Carla Rich over in Peru. And Miss Carla Rich's brother is in assisted living now, so we'll continue to remember him. Miss Connie Norton. She's at home, but let's remember her. Diane Ely with her back. and remember all of our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, McCrickards, Joyce Manning. Remember James Tolan Brown over in the Marines, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. And continue to remember all of our young people that is back in school now. And so let's just remember that. Also, Miss Carlene, we'll continue to remember Miss Carlene, if you would. Miss Cassie's brother's fiance, as she's trying to get better as well. Seems like I'm missing one or two more. But we'll open up the floor if you have a prayer request, an update, a praise even. Hassan? All right, listen. We'll remember this for sure. Hassan remembers. Chrissy? Jamie? Wow, basic training, huh? Jamie's going to basic training. You, the Air Force branch or Air Force? Okay, all right. Yeah, Jeff said, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. So, Bobby, what branch are you? Navy. Who else in here? Don? Army? Okay. Let's remember this. You say Army? Somebody else didn't mention what you mean?
I was in the Navy too.
Okay. He was in both. Well, appreciate all those who served, and we are praying for Jamie. Proud of him. That's good stuff. Anything else? Anybody else? Marianne?
My son-in-law is in the hospital. He was coming home from work the other night, and he was having he was speeding down 20, and he passed the Gordon Road exit, and he finally a cop had stopped him, and when they stopped him, he was making no sense. He was totally confused. Anyway, they found out that he's got low sodium.
John?
John, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And now they're wondering if the accident last week
was because of that. Where's he at? What hospital?
Tanner.
Villarica. Tanner in Villarica.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be home tomorrow.
Okay. You know, from what we gather, Connie Norton had low sodium as to why she fell out and hit her head. So we'll be praying for John.
He had no idea where he was.
Wow, that's scary. Low sodium, huh?
When he comes out, he has to see a kidney special.
Okay. Let's remember this. Anybody else?
Our son is kind of going through a transition of a place to live, need a roommate, or, you know, just different things. I just trust in the Lord will help him work it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And I wondered, is Connie Norton home?
Yes. Miss Cassie, do you know anything about Connie personally? I mean, has Trail called you or anything? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for that update. That's what's going on. Anybody else? All right. Well, just remember this coming up Sunday morning and night. Pray to the Lord to do some amazing things amongst us. And then the 25th, right around the corner, CGT. And Calvary's Got Talent, remember that. Fundraiser is why we're doing this. And so we like to, the goal will be $3,000. And, and so we're just going to start with this fundraiser and see where we're at that point. And so remember that. That'll be a great time. I do want to say that I went to a meeting yesterday over at Calvary Children's Home. Bro Snyder invited me over to hear, the CEO of Must Ministries, Ike Reihard, and pastor of what church is that? Piedmont Church. And that was a blessing hearing him yesterday. He wrote a couple books, but one of them, it was a devotional. He wrote him and Zig Ziglar, if anybody's ever heard of Zig Ziglar. That was a good meeting hearing him, Ike, speak. So I just want to share that with you. And I received some encouragement on Tuesday morning. So, all right, well, let's just remember these things and remember one another. Anything else before we pray? All right, well, let's all pray together. Have a moment of prayer. If you want to come down front, you can, or you can pray right where you're at. And then Brother Jeff have a song for us of some kind.
We're going to do just a closer walk. Let me
Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Let's continue to remember. I dug out one of those in my head just a minute ago. Brother Alan Clayton, he's getting ready to have back surgery soon, like very soon. He went this week, and so they're trying to work through some things in order to get him scheduled. And so... please remember him in your prayers. And while he's out, me and Brother Randy will take care of the choir and music. And so remember him. Also remember this coming up Sunday at 3 p.m. after the service, this Sunday afternoon, CLU and deacons meeting as well. Deacons. So remember that. All right, take your Bibles if you would and make your way to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Our text verse is going to be verse number 11, but I want to throw in verse number 12 with that as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for salvation, number one. Thank you for everything that follows. Lord, I pray tonight for the next few moments that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would bring to my mind the things that we studied, pondered on. God, the things that you assured my heart of today about tonight. I pray that we would be a help, an encouragement. I pray that our hearts may even be challenged. But Lord, let us receive your word with meekness and fear. And God, I pray that you would just Be with us. Be with the young folks downstairs, the teachers downstairs. I pray by the time we leave tonight, we would be closer, as the song says, have a closer walk with you than we did before we got here. We love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." That's our two verses tonight. Of course, verse number 11 being our main verse, but no doubt Paul is talking and writing to the young pastor, the young preacher, the young evangelist, even young Timothy. He calls him man of God here in this verse. He says, "But thou, O man of God." To be called a man of God or a woman of God is one of the greatest titles that a Christian could ever receive tonight. With that said, I want to talk to you on being a man and woman of God. The term man of God is used or is often given to ministers of the gospel. Also, the clergyman, is called the man of the cloth. You ever heard that before? The man of the cloth. This was a 17th century term when clergymen began to wear robes, called the man of the cloth. Or man of cloth. But just because a minister may wear a robe doesn't mean that they are a man of God. There's actions that must follow that. Now, David in the Bible was known as a man of God because he was a man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22. I just want to read this verse to you. You can turn there if you like, follow on the screen. But Acts 13:22, listen to this. "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." So David was a man of God because he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who wanted to fulfill God's will. He was a man who was going after God's will. And so, what does it mean to be a man of God or a woman of God? It simply means a person who has similar values, interests, or beliefs as God. You can make your way back to 1 Timothy 6 if you're not there already. David is described as a man after God's own heart because he loved and valued the same things God valued. Listen to this. Being a person of God, whether it's a man or a woman, being a person of God is not a destination as it is a direction. You never will fully arrive at a place where you'll feel like you're this great man or woman of God. You'll just never reach a place of perfection. None of us will. You know, that's why we need salvation. Jesus is perfection. It's His perfection that gets us to heaven. But we'll never reach a place. So it's not about a destination being this man or woman of God as it is a direction. When we are pursuing godliness, when we want to simulate God and we're going after Him, we don't have to be perfect, but we're going in a direction. We can be called a man or woman of God because we have similar values and interests and beliefs as God. David was known as a man after God's own heart. He was a man of God because he valued the things of God. I know you value the things of God tonight, or you wouldn't be here. And whoever we have watching tonight on Facebook, if you're watching, then evidently you value the things of God because you're watching. And those listening on the web, you value the things of God because you're listening. But remember, it's a direction, not a destination. And a great example of that is David himself. You remember his sin with Bathsheba? I remember that, reading about that. But also I remember reading in Psalm 51 about David's repentance. And like Brother Bagwell preached the other Thursday night, Matt Bagwell, when we sang over there at Victory, he mentioned, and I like what he said, he says, you don't hear much about David's sin in Scripture. You hear about the offense. You see Psalm 51 and maybe a spot or two other than that, but you don't see or hear about his sin much at all. You want to know why? Because he had forgiveness. And when we sin, we repent, and guess what? It's over. You are forgiven, and it's the past, and now you can keep on pursuing the things of God. And you can still be labeled a man or woman of God because it's not a destination as it is direction. Just because you may have slipped or stumbled, doubted or feared, doesn't mean you cannot be a man or woman of God. Some of the greatest men and women of God in the Bible struggled with doubts and fears, have slipped and stumbled. It was John the Baptist, remember, that was in prison, and he was filled with doubt. He says, is this the Christ, or should we look for another? He told the disciples that. And so we all can struggle with it, and it doesn't mean you can't have the title man of God or woman of God. But so we see that there. Being a man or woman of God has nothing to do with money. Has nothing to do with social status. We see a lot of people on TV in the religious realm, and they're either singing or preaching, and we think, oh, wow, man of God, a woman of God, you know, singing, a woman of God singing, and wow, they're just this great person of God. Well, it ain't got nothing to do with limelight. It has nothing to do with social status, with money. It has nothing to do with personality. A lot of people confuse spirituality with personality. There may be a certain person who has a lot of charisma and may be well rehearsed in speech. And a lot of people say, wow, they're spiritual. Has nothing to do with that at all. Nothing to do with personality. Has nothing to do being a man of God or a woman of God with clothes or what kind of car you drive or where you even live. But it has everything to do with simulating Almighty God, a man of God, a woman of God. Moses was referred to as a man of God. Don't turn there, but Deuteronomy 33:1. Samuel was referred to as a man of God in 1 Samuel 9:6. David was referred to as a man of God in 2 Chronicles 8:14. Elijah, 1 Kings 17:24, Elisha, 2 Kings 4:9, and hold on, women, you're in here too. What about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 that spoke about? We see in Proverbs, I'll just give it to you, 31 briefly, in verse number 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And then verse number 30 says this, Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, or a woman of God, shall be praised. So there is men of God in Scripture. There is women of God in Scripture. What about Sarah? What about Naomi? What about Ruth? What about Esther? Mary, Elizabeth, we could go on and on, but that's just a few to name right here and there. And so in Scripture, there is men of God, and then there is women of God. Has nothing to do with a destination, has everything to do with direction. And so don't lose heart tonight. You can be all God wants you to be. And so this is a title every Christian should strive to earn. Titles aren't given, but earned. An illustration. A soldier goes to the army. He is asked, "What title would you like, sir? What title would you like, ma'am? Would you like to be called sergeant today? Colonel, lieutenant, or general?" No. Those titles are earned. You ever heard the phrase, earning your stripes? You got to put the work in first. But I will say this, some titles are given on credit until the money's in the bank. You can have a title, but having a title is different than having content. There's a time where you have to live up to the title. And so titles aren't given but earned. And so Paul speaks of a man of God in our text tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, "But thou, O man of God..." But then he proceeded to show us some things attached to or found in this person of God. And so Paul shares three things it takes to be a man or woman of God in verse number 11 and 12. Now, it says man of God, person of God. There's principles here for a man of God or woman of God. I know he's talking to a young pastor, but these are three principles in being a person of God. Three words. There's two found in verse number 11 and one in verse number 12. First, there's the word fleeing or flee. Then there's the word following or follow. And then there's the word fighting or fight. So Paul shares with Timothy three things it takes to be a man of God. There's going to have to be some fleeing in his life, some following and fighting. And not just to Timothy, man or woman, all of us tonight, these three elements. Number one, there's the word fleeing. Look at verse number 11. "But thou, O man of God," so there's the title, and he says, here's how you earn it. Flee these things. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." That word flee in the Greek is phugo. P-H-E-U-G-O. Phugo. We get the word in English, it's translated in English, fugitive. Fugo, fugitive. He says, "But thou, O man of God, be a fugitive." Be a fugitive. Tonight, we are to be spiritual fugitives. There's an older movie. It's old to me. Does anybody remember the movie The Fugitive with Harrison Ford? The Fugitive? He was a doctor and he was accused of killing his wife. And so he is on the run. He is fleeing from authorities. And he is trying to find the real killer and vindicate himself. He fled. They came after him. And he is on the run. He is a fugitive. Paul says, "But thou, O man of God, person of God, flee. Be a fugitive." And so a fugitive is always on the run tonight. We must be spiritual fugitives. Now, whether you realize it or not, the devil is hot on your trail each and every day. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your life. He can't have your soul, but if he can make you trip, stumble, if he can overall destroy you, then his mission is accomplished. Don't turn there, but 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour or destroy." I don't know about you tonight or not, but if a big old lion were to come through that door and roar, I mean, I would be out this door, and I'd try to grab all of you to come with me. Lions are scary. And so the devil is as a roaring lion. He's our adversary, the devil. And he is after you and he is after me. And so we are to flee from him. Flee from him. Flee these things. But in the context here of 1 Timothy chapter 6, the writer is referring back to what he was recently talking about in previous verses. Notice he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." So what was the things that he's telling us to flee from? Well, we know overall the devil, he is after us. We are to flee from him. But he's talking about verse number 6 primarily, down through verse number 10 is what he's talking about. And these verses deal with contentment. And he's talking about the lack of contentment has caused a lot of people trouble. Look in verse number 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich," or desire to be rich and crave money and materialism, "fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith." Erred from the faith. Meaning they possessed faith and they have erred from the faith. The faith hasn't left them. They have just erred from the faith because of money and materialism. "And pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That word pierce means to penetrate entirely. Now, money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of materialism. And the struggle is being content with what we have. And so many people have wrestled with contentment. And there's times where I wrestle with contentment. I mean, it's a daily thing to be content. And many people have wrestled with this. And they have fell into the trap of materialism and wanting to go after that mighty dollar. And because of it, verse number 9, "But they that'll be rich shall be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts." And so because of that love for money and materialism, they have made foolish decisions. Bible says hurtful lust. Men drowning in destruction and perdition. Again, verse 10, it talks about they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows or griefs, going after money. And so Paul says, "But thou, O man of God, but thou, O person of God," if you want to have that title, and I'm not saying get to a place whereby it says, "Oh, you're so holy." No, I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is knowing you have such a close walk with Jesus that that's who you are. You are going after God. You are going after Him. You are choosing to be content and godly. You are a man and woman of God, not because of destination, but because of direction. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. So one of the biggest challenges in the Christian life, and Paul is telling Timothy here as a young man, is the money factor. And let me tell you, it costs money, don't it, Ceylon, to live. It costs money for things to operate, for this church to operate. It costs money. But I think this is one reason why the Lord requires a tithe. And for us to give at least a tenth of all of our increase. Because it's saying, Lord, this isn't my money, it's your money. And there's never been a time where I've tithed and done without. I remember Brother Berman telling me a long time ago, he says, Justin, if God were to have it the other way around, I believe that if He required 90%, he says, I believe God will allow me to live off 10%. He will allow all of us to live off 10% if we honored Him with 90%. But He's not calling for 90%. He's calling for 10%. And this keeps things in perspective. It's God who gave us the jobs that we have, the incomes that we have. He gives us the energy to get up, the ability to work. And so, therefore, we're grateful, we're thankful. We give unto Him what is His already. And it keeps this materialism factor in check. Now, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. The older generation has no problem with tithing. It's my generation that has a problem with tithing. You have been there. You have done that. God has showed Himself mighty to you. He has honored His word. You have given your tithe and beyond your tithe, I'm sure. It's my generation that struggles with that. Why is my generation struggling with that? Well, they just don't have the faith it takes. It takes faith to tithe. It's a principle in God's word. Give. He talks about the window of blessing, and He also talks about if you don't, the devourer will come. And so my generation struggles with tithing because a lot of people in my generation feel like whatever we make is ours. And some in my generation feel like, well, I may not be tithing money, but I help out at the church and I do this for God. That's not the same. That's not the same. The tithe belongs to God. That's His. And we are to give to Him because He has blessed us, and whatever else we choose to do is an offering. A free will offering. And so the tithe is in place. Offerings are in place, which are two different things. And Paul here lays this out. He says there have been many people, and he's talking to a young man here. Don't be lusting after money. Don't get caught up in the money. It takes money, but don't get caught up in that. Get caught up in the godliness. Get caught up in contentment. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee materialism. And I have to be honest, sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes God will challenge you on that tithe, I'm telling you. Have things break down at home. Have your car break down. And you have just enough money for one or the other. You know what I'm saying? And listen, some people tithe weekly, some people tithe biweekly, some people tithe monthly, and that's okay as long as God gets it. But it's challenging at times. But when we tithe, it's a form of worship. It's saying, God, I trust You. God, I have faith in You. And so, flee from materialism is what he's talking about here. We can also say, as we said a moment ago, flee from the devil, but flee from sin. But thou, O man of God, flee from sin, flee from materialism, flee from the devil. But we can also say this, flee from appearances of evil. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Flee, shun all appearance of evil. In the book of Job, chapter number 1, in verse 1, the Bible says that Job eschewed evil. He shunned it. Any appearance of evil we are to flee from. And so we see here that if we are going to be men and women of God, there needs to be some fleeing in our life. We need to be a spiritual fugitive. We need to flee from materialism, flee from sin, flee from the appearance of evil, flee from the devil. We are just people who are fugitives. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. So there's the word fleeing. But then there's the word following in verse number 1. Verse number 11. Following. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow. The word follow means to pursue. We're not just fugitives on the run all the time, but we're actually pursuing something. We're not spending our life running from things. That won't solve anything, will it? Just constantly be on a run. I'm running from the devil. I'm running from sin. No, but we've got to run to some things to replace the things we're running from. Notice what he says. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You remember we said being a man or woman of God isn't about destination as it is direction. We don't ever arrive as the spiritual being with no sin, but we go in that direction. Paul talks about wanting to apprehend that for which he's been apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so Paul tells us to pursue various virtues. Pursue it. Look what he says. Righteousness. Flee some things, but follow after righteousness. Righteousness. Rightness. Whatever's right, follow that among men and in this world. Do right. Righteousness here is through the idea of doing right. Rightness. Living out righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness on the inside, and it's our job to live out what we have. Work out your own salvation. Out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we are to be fleers of materialism, but pursuers of righteousness. All right? So righteousness. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In Psalm 23, He leadeth me in pathways of righteousness for His namesake. We ought to walk in righteous paths because we're bearing the name of the Lord. And through His providence and through His guidance, He does lead us in pathways of righteousness for His namesake. So Paul says, pursue righteousness, but then godliness. Godliness or godlikeness or the fruits of the Spirit. He says that's what you need to do, Timothy. Don't get wrapped up in this world system with its money and materialism and instant fame, so to speak, what people are after, Timothy. No, don't do that. He says, but go after righteousness. Go after godliness. You're living in a world, Timothy, where there is less God. Make sure there's more God. You're living, Timothy, in a hateful world. You're living, Timothy, during perilous times. And so you are to show or exhibit God-likeness during those times. And it's still true today. We're living in a very worldly world. the world system is being pressed upon us day in and day out. We are living in perilous times, but we are to pursue godliness, exhibit the character of God in a lost and dying world, and it's very challenging, as you know. Easier preached than lived. But let's flee some things and let's pursue some things. Godliness, but then faith. Now, I want to spend just 1 second here on this one. Faith. Righteousness, godliness, faith. Now, there's a difference tonight between, and y'all just follow me. There's a difference between trust and faith. You say, what do you mean? Trust has to do with looking backwards. I trust Ceylon. And I've known Brother Ceylon now for at least 7 years. And he is trustworthy. Everybody here can say that. Why do I say Ceylon is trustworthy? Because of my experience with him. Trust has to do with looking back. But faith has to do with looking forward. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't know about the future, but we know some things about the past. Faith is a belief system, but trust is an action. We trust God tonight because He has proven Himself faithful. Faithful. Not that He had to, but He did. And so he says faith here. And I believe faith here is the whole operation. It's the whole faith system. Looking ahead, not at the temporal. It's faith. It's belief in God. It's the gospel. It's the whole makeup of faith. It's our belief system. He says that we are to follow after faith. We are to... But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, and faith. Trusting God is backwards, is looking backwards. Faith is looking ahead. So he says there's this element of faith in our life. And so let us embrace faith tonight. Let us keep trusting God, and we know that we can trust Him. He's trustworthy because of what He has done. And so whatever's in the future, we will trust Him because of the past. And so we are to follow, we are to pursue faith. But then there's the word love here. Love. That word love in the Greek is agape. And it's unconditional. It's the unconditional love of God. He tells us to love like Jesus loved. Which is hard to do. I put a post out, I think it was last week. And it said, real love doesn't hurt. And this was something else God spoke to me about down in Panama City. He spoke to me about the giving part. If everybody gave, nobody would be lacking. But He spoke to me about the love part. Listen, real love doesn't hurt. Many times we get hurt and we say love hurts. Let's just dissect that just a little bit. Real love, real biblical love doesn't hurt. Because 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that real love is patient. Real love is kind and so forth and so on. So, real love doesn't hurt. It's people that don't know how to love is what hurts. Because real love, in its essence, is the love of God. Patient. Kind. And so we are pursuers tonight. We are pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. We are trying to show a lost and dying world unconditional love. This world says, I hate you. And the challenge is to say, I love you. And you can't do it in the realm of the natural. When someone, even a fellow believer, a Christian says, or a lost person, I hate you. In that moment, you are to understand what put Jesus on the cross, your sin and mine. We did not deserve salvation. There's nothing righteous about us. It's all the love of God. And because of that act, we are to say, you may hate me, but I love you. I love you. Easy to preach, hard to live. Jesus talks about turning the cheek. You know what I'm saying? Love, unconditional love, love like Jesus. And so he's saying in this lost and dying world that is dangerous and filled with materialism, he said, flee those things, but follow after love. Exemplify love. Then there's the word patience. I really don't want to bring up this one, you know, because patience is a hard subject. It's a hard word to deal with. It's hard to live out being patient. Being patient. But patience here is through the idea of hopeful endurance. Hopeful endurance. James, I always go to James. In James chapter 1, he says, let patience have her perfect work. Sometimes we're going through phases of endurance, and we've just got to let God do what He wants to do, no matter how painful it is. There's the pruning phase, John 15, where hey, we may be bearing fruit, but He wants us to bear more fruit. We may be bearing more fruit, but He wants us to bear much fruit. So there's pruning, and there's that time where we have to be patient, although it hurts, but yet we're hopeful because we know that God works all things together for good, and we're choosing to let patience have a perfect work. If you want to recognize a man of God, a woman of God, you'll see a person who is patient. Not perfect, but patient. At least trying to pursue patience. Then there's the word meekness. Sometimes it gets confused with weakness. But meekness here is gentleness. It's humility. All right? It's knowing that you have the power to tear down and destroy, but you're withholding that because His name's sake. His name is at stake. And you're doing it for His name's sake. You're being meek. You're being gentle. You're being humble. And so these are the things that men and women of God are to follow after. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. But there's a third thing. Not only fleeing, following, but in verse number 12, fighting. Look at verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, if you're going to be a man of God, a woman of God, you've got to have a fight in you. Do we have any fighters tonight? Amen. I see a bunch of fighters here, or you wouldn't be here. You're fighting the good fight of faith. I see a lot of empty pews. Are they fighting? Now, I know some work, and I know there's extracurricular activities, and I know some are sick, and some watch on Facebook, but come on now. Are we the only fighters? Or are some giving up? Some have given up. I'm not talking about y'all who watch on Facebook. I'm not talking about y'all who work. I'm not talking about y'all who do this, y'all do that. No. But a large majority has quit. And partly is because I feel like they think that being a Christian is a destination. Now, you're saved by grace, but being a man of God, a woman of God, it's a direction. People fail the Lord and they stop coming to church. You know? People fall short and people have doubts and all these things. And people stop coming to church. But he says, Timothy, I want you to fight like you're in a dog fight. Fight like a bulldog. That's Justin Hale's version. Fight like a bulldog. Lock them jaws down and don't let go. Hey, y'all think that's funny? Y'all ought to hear me when I'm by myself sometimes how I talk to the devil and what I say to those dark spirits that try to get me down. Fight. The word fight means to struggle. It means contend with an adversary. Endeavor. It means laborious strife. So Paul tells Timothy what his business needs to be about rather than minding the things of the world. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Don't be entangled, intertwined with the affairs of this life, that you may please him who has called you to be a soldier. Paul reminds Timothy he was in a state of warfare. The lost are not in a state of warfare, but the saved are. Your heart is saved, but your mind is not saved. There's a world system, and then there's the Bible. And we have two things coming at us. There's a warfare. We have to decide what we want to do, what direction we want to go in. We're not perfect. It's not a destination, but we need to decide if we're going to serve the world or God. Fight the good fight of faith. He was in a state of warfare. He was a soldier. Paul tells Timothy, you're a soldier. He tells him not to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. In another place, he had an adversary. He has the flesh and other afflictions to deal with. Now, faith here, and this is what I meant earlier. Faith earlier is basically believing God for the future. But faith here, this is what I want to get at, is the whole idea of faith. It's the gospel. It's the life and the trust factor. It's all of it in the whole operation of faith. He says, fight the good fight of faith. All of it. The gospel. Believing God in the future. All of those things. The life to be lived and the gospel to be preached. All of it in a nutshell. Fight for it. Fight for it. So faith, the whole idea of faith, the gospel, the life, the trust factor, the whole operation of faith. But then he says good here. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a good cause to fight for, the faith life. We're fighting for Jesus. We're fighting for souls. We are trying to fulfill our purpose. There's fights along the way. There's hurdles to jump. He says, but it's a good cause. So keep fighting. Don't give up. Don't give in to the world system. Don't get wrapped up in materialism. Don't get wrapped up in sin. Flee those things and follow after these things and fight. Paul says you've got to earn this title of being a man of God. And so this title of a man of God, a woman of God, is for those who are fighting. You're fighting. You're here. You know what I see tonight? Some men and women of God. Men and women of God. It's a direction. You're here at church on Wednesday night. Those watching on Facebook, whatever. If you're watching, you're a man and woman of God. You chose to watch. You chose to listen. It's a good cause. It's for Jesus and souls. It's for your purpose. And so he says that there. Now listen to this. Fight the good fight of faith. Then he says, lay hold on eternal life. That phrase, lay hold, there means to seize. Lay hold on eternal life. He's not talking about getting salvation. He's talking to Timothy, who already has salvation. He's talking about seizing the end. Getting a clear vision of where you're going and what's on the other side. And he says, seize it. Grab a hold of it. Spiritual pull-ups. I love how this stuff just comes to me sometimes. Yeah, we need to do spiritual pull-ups. You're fleeing some things. You're following some things, but you're fighting. You're struggling. And what helps us get to the finish line is seeing what we got after the finish line. Heaven. Jesus. family, rest, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Can you imagine how that can be a pep rally for us the next time you're struggling and fighting and trying to flee some things and you're trying to go after some things and you're fighting? Think about heaven and how beautiful heaven must be. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on heaven. Folks, this life is a miserable life to live in, and we're fighting and we're struggling, but it's not in this life only we have hope. If we did, we'd be of all men most miserable. But we have hope in the afterlife as well. So allow heaven to get you through the day. Lay hold, he says, on eternal life. But then he says, and I'm done, whereunto thou art also called, he's going to heaven, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I believe Paul is referring to his baptism and his ordination here. Timothy received Jesus as his Savior, and he followed through with believers' baptism. He went on and he got ordained into the ministry. He has professed this in front of everybody. And now he says there's going to be some times of struggle, some times of battle. And when it gets to that point where you're either going to go back and backslide or keep going forward, he says, think of heaven. Think of that profession when you profess among all them witnesses that you're saved and God has called you into the ministry. Yeah, it's hard, Timothy. Yeah, there's battles and there's times of fatigue, but just remember those you're fighting for. Remember those who are following you. Like we said last Wednesday night, faint yet pursuing. Gideon was leading the pack. His men were behind him, and he asked for bread for his men. What if Gideon would have given up? Keep going, child of God. There's others following you. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep struggling. Do your spiritual pull-ups. Look toward heaven. Allow it to pull you through. And while many people are erring from the faith because of materialism and money and sin and Satan, you may not be perfect, but you're still heading in the right direction. Just remember, it's not a destination, it's direction tonight. If it was a destination and we were to arrive at a certain point, I wouldn't be here tonight. To be quite honest with you, I'd give up. You want to know why? Because it's impossible to be perfect and arrive at a destination. But it is possible to go after Jesus. It is possible to live this life through Him. It is possible to be a man of God, a woman of God. It is possible to flee from things in this world. It is possible to follow after good things. It is possible to keep on fighting while others are quitting. Because of the possibility of living the Christian life is why I'm here and is why you're here too. So there's the word fight. There's the word following. Fighting, following, and then fleeing. That's the lesson tonight. Being a man and woman of God. Don't give up tonight. Keep going. Keep going. If anybody tells you you'll get to a place where sin won't bother you no more, say, you're lying. You're lying. Paul talked about it several places. He says, I buffet myself. I blacken my eye. Keep under my body. Bring it to subjection, lest I may be a castaway. The gospel I preach, I may fall at preaching to. So just keep heading in the direction you're going. Going after God. And while the Lord works all things together for good. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you. Help us, Lord, be pursuers of you. A.W. Tozer wrote that book, Pursuit of God. The only reason why we're pursuing you tonight, Lord, is because you first pursued us. And you have put eternity in our hearts. And so, Father, we are fleeing, following, and fighting. And hopefully, Lord, one day when we see you face to face, there will be reward that we will receive that in return will give back to you for being the Savior of the world and for all that you've done for us. We love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right. Anything to mention? That's all I got. All right. Well, if that's it, you're at liberty to go. Have a great night. And Lord willing.